This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here we are once again. It is time for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Your questions can be sent to us via this email, radioprogram@AOL.com. Radioprogram@AOL.com. And here with me is Layla Mutin, who is our nutritionist in residence. On a weekly basis, we team up and answer your questions together. And we also work together at our practice in Manhattan. So how are you doing?
Okay, it's warmed up a little bit.
Yeah, well, we've got a little bit of a reprieve. They say that there's often a January thaw, and we seem to be in the midst of it.
Yeah.
So if they could just remove all the garbage that's accumulating sky high here on the sidewalks here in Manhattan, we'd be, you know, they're too busy plowing and sanding. To manage to, I mean, it's like, it's gotta be one or the other. It's like the garbage men are involved in the snow removal and they can't get to the garbage and the garbage is like sky high.
Exactly.
So, now that it's, the temperatures are above freezing, you just have to put a clothespin on your nose and walk around.
Exactly.
Right. And dodge the scurrying rats, and, you know, because nothing attracts rats like piled up garbage.
Right.
Right. Right. So, yeah, quality of life. You know, hey, listen, it could be worse. We could be in California where they, it's either fire or flood.
Honestly.
Right? You know, or
and
earthquakes.
After all that drought from natural disaster.
You know, at least it's like, you know, it's like 70 degrees, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, you know, there's no place exempt from calamity. So, before we get into questions, I want to share this item with you. This, actually, this is a, came across the wires right before New Year's, but I only noticed it a little later. This is a new innovation, according to the New York Post. Now you can charge your phone from up to 3 feet away. Isn't that great? Because, like, ooh, it's so inconvenient to actually have to take your phone out of your pocket or your purse and put it next to the charger and plug in the charger.
Yeah.
And they even have these things, these mats now that you can put the phone on.
That's what I've got.
You got a mat. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm a little worried about EMFs from the mat because, you know, the way that you, at least when the electrons are coming through the wire and going directly to the phone, I feel like less bad about it. Although, you know, I gotta say that there's a lot of stuff going on because when I listen to AM radio, as I sometimes do, I still have that habit. You know, I find it hard to position within my apartment away from some sources of static. If I put it too close to my computer, it's going off. If I put it too close to my phone, it's going to, you know, be distorted. If it's even too close to certain electric light switches, it goes off.
Next to the microwave.
Or next to, the microwave will really send it flying. Mm-hmm. So what's happening to my brain with all these EMFs? And now I have this, there's these new devices. You can charge your electronics without being connected to the charger.
That's
through
a little
the
scary.
Use of radio frequencies which travel through the air.
Oh my.
The company said the device was rigorously tested to make sure it met consumer safety and regulatory requirements prior to the Fed's okay. Yeah, how rigorously was it tested?
Yeah, and you know, just a few weeks ago was the headline of
in California,
your cell phone shouldn't be even anywhere near your head on your nightstand.
A new edict from California, which is like the ultra. That's like the
everything causes cancer.
Everything causes cancer. The precaution principle. Yeah. Yeah. It's a funny state. I mean, California is a different place altogether.
Yeah.
I mean, I rank on California, but you know, no offense to my California listeners, I'm from California. I'm a California refugee, fled to the East Coast because I was suffering from terminal boredom in Southern California. So you know, it's just a, you know, the weather's the same, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, you know, enough of sameness. Okay. So anyway, what they say here is, the FCC certification, boy, I really trust the federal communications people. The FCC certification of Energus's power at a distance wireless charging transmitter is a major market milestone. Yeah, we can. Mm-hmm. So now, untethered wire-free charging. You can charge a fitness band even while wearing it. That's great. You put it around your head and then it's going to be charged. These power beams are going to be directed at the device that's wrapped around your head.
Yeah.
And so how do those power beams know not to charge your brain?
Yes.
And they're going to charge the device with powerful electricity.
Yeah.
Whoa.
What kind of DNA damage can all of this do? People even have to be worried about their Fitbits to some degree when they've got it on and they're sleeping and it's monitoring their sleep and their waves of sleep and all of that. You got to wonder about all that too. Wireless earbuds.
Yeah, I'm very leery of them.
That's not much different.
I will wear them on a plane, but that's so infrequent.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The better ones now are wireless, and they sound pretty good, and they free you from the wire. I don't know why having a wire is such an encumbrance.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the big deal? They don't even have these holes anymore in your iPhone 10 that I have doesn't even have the right holes to put in a regular headphone. They want everybody to use wireless,
which I don't like at all.
But they give you an adapter for like us, like retro people who still have wired headphones.
Headphones, right. And plug them. Right.
So we use an adapter. Okay. So anyway, enough said. I mean, I guess this highlights the issue of EMFs, electromagnetic fields, and their deleterious effects. And now we have, I mean, we're not even backing away from concerns. We're actually amping up the concerns with these new wireless charging stations.
We have to be careful with how far all this goes because it's all about convenience for many people, but the expense is your own health.
Yeah.
So it should not be that inconvenient to go over and plug in your phone at night like we do in the foyer.
Yeah.
It sits on that, but it's always in that particular spot.
You know, just 25 years ago, you'd have to reach in your pocket and make sure that you had quarters.
Mm.
And then if you didn't, you'd have to go to some place and like buy a pack of chewing gum or something, or, you know, like a candy bar or something.
Uh-huh.
In the day, you know, that's when I still consume those things. And then, you know, you get change for a dollar, and then you would, you know, because
and then
candy,
you'd feed the
candy,
parking meter.
Candy was a quarter, so you get three quarters back.
Right.
And then you'd be able to make a call.
Yes.
And you'd have to find a phone booth. And in New York, there was kind of a feat to find a phone booth that A, was working, and B, was not like a restroom.
Yes, was not slimy.
Right. Where your feet stuck to the floor.
Right.
And that's how you would make a phone call.
Yeah.
If you wanted to make a phone call.
Oh, my goodness.
So we demand higher and higher levels of convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon they're going to put the phones into our brains. And we just have to think about contacting somebody.
Oh, my.
That's next.
That's frightening.
I predict. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, enough railing.
We have an email from Roseanne. She says, I never hear anyone talking about facial hair on women. It's probably a hormone thing, but what type of doctor would one go to see? Thanks again for the years of amazing on-the-spot information.
Okay, well, you know, this is one of those unspoken problems, but it is a ubiquitous problem.
Yeah.
It is a widespread problem, and there are several factors involved. You know, number one, some women are, from a hereditary standpoint, more prone to hirsutism. It's not an abnormality. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, perhaps a familial susceptibility.
And hirsutism is also body hair.
You could be body hair as well. It could
facial.
Be, you know, hair in the wrong places. And, but it is also associated with a hormone imbalance, which is excess testosterone and or DHEA, which can occur in a common condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Yes.
PCOS is a, fairly prevalent. You know, 5 to 10% of women have some degree of PCOS. Mm-hmm. It causes menstrual abnormalities. It causes acne.
And it can cause hair shedding on the head.
Right. And so it's not about less hair altogether, and it's more
hair
in the wrong places.
Like you say. Yeah.
It's like hairy men are often bald. Mm. You know, very have a lot of body hair, and they're bald because they have high levels of testosterone.
And it's associated with insulin resistance, so endocrine.
It is associated with insulin resistance, and it is associated with obesity to some extent, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is there a diet component? Yes, there can be.
Yes.
There are also some women who have a hereditary, without having PCOS, they have a hereditary shunt of adrenal hormones. Mm. Actually, this stuff is made in the adrenals in women, because women don't have testes, mm-hmm. you know, but they do have adrenals, and some wrong shunt in the synthesis of adrenal hormones can result in a high production of testosterone and DHEA and androstenedione, which is a masculinizing hormone.
Wow.
And so how do you treat it? Well, you go to, I mean, number one, you may treat it in a cosmetic way by going to a dermatologist, mm-hmm. And they may give you either treatments or
electrolysis and all of that.
There's actually a medication that can be used for it. I forget the name of it. But it is a medication. You can take an oral medication. It's called spironolactone,
yes.
which decreases that. In women who have this adrenal problem, they're sometimes given low-dose corticosteroids, which tend to suppress the pathway that makes for production of these androgens. They're called androgens. These mm-hmm. are masculinizing hormones. And
this would be done by an endocrinologist.
But it would
primarily.
Be done by an endocrinologist. Yeah. An endocrinologist would do that. But, you know, there's a little bit of an overlap between dermatologists and endocrinologists on that particular mm-hmm. issue.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
But it is a very, one of the more common reasons for going to an endocrinologist for a woman.
Right, right. When there's hair, there's facial hair where it shouldn't be, like around the chin, which is absolutely hormonal, even in the sideburn or cheek areas and all of that.
Yeah, one of the medications that was touted for this, is, and I'll look it up.
Spironolactone?
Yeah, it's a topical. They used to use what's called Nair, you know, like a hair
Nair.
Removal thing. Yeah. Smells awful.
Oh my God.
Smells awful.
It's so toxic.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
But that's something I dabbled in as a teenager, Nair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prefer
a razor. Never mind.
Yeah, yeah. Another way to deal with it, and I forgot to mention it, is birth control pills.
Mm.
You know, birth control pills are sometimes low estrogen birth control pills are used to reduce that. The topical medication is called Vaniqua. Vaniqua.
Oh.
Now, Vaniqua, it sounds like an African-American girl's name.
Yeah.
Hey, Vaniqua.
Shaniqua,
Vaniqua.
Yeah.
But it's Vaniqua,
uh-huh.
a peculiar spelling. It is the first and only prescription cream approved by the FDA to reduce the growth of unwanted facial hair in women.
Hmm.
So what's interesting about this medication is that it is a topical version of a medication that's used for a tropical parasitical disease. Interestingly, they found that somehow this had the property of, you know, I don't know, maybe it kills parasites and it kills hair follicles.
Wow.
It's weird.
I wonder if it smells as bad as Nair.
No, I don't think it does. It's,
or Neat was the other one. NEET. Nair or Neat. Yeah. Okay. For unwanted facial hair. But again, it's taking care of a symptom. It's best to check in with a doctor to see why that's occurring at all.
Yeah.
I imagine there might be hair in places where it doesn't belong. After menopause.
So there's also something that does occur with women is that relative hormone imbalance develops after menopause,
mm-hmm.
where the estrogen and progesterone decrease, but the testosterone may be sustained. So because of the imbalance, there may be a greater tendency for facial hair to emerge postmenopausally.
You might have a hair on your chinny chin.
Yeah, that's something along those lines.
Some tweezers can take care of that for you for the most part, unless it's much more than.
And then, you know, the question is, is shaving contraindicated? And that's, you know, a question that I don't know the answer to.
Well, she's passed away a long time ago. I used to have an Aunt Layla, and she used to shave her face. And we was like, why is her face so rough? I remember as a little girl.
Oh, yeah.
And I go kiss her hello.
Like the bearded lady in the Ringling Brothers, you know, the Barnum, P.T. Barnum. You know,
right. So I always found that a little strange. That was before I knew any better, you know.
Okay, so here, I was right about this.
Hmm.
The medication that's used in Veniqua is a medication used to treat African sleeping sickness.
What, pray tell, is that?
When it's given orally.
Oh.
Trypanosomiasis. So it's interesting. It's used to treat this dread disease in Africa. And of course, they figure like, you know, how are we, you know, they don't have any sleeping sickness in America. So like, how are we going to make some money on this? That, you know, the Africans, they're poor. They can't like, you know, spend big bucks on that. You know, we're going to have to like lower the price to make it available in these poor countries. But lo and behold, they can take that stuff and put it in a cream and sell it to women at exorbitant prices in America because nothing is more important than vanity.
Sure.
Right? I mean, what's worse? African sleeping sickness or facial hair? Come on. This is the answer.
Facial hair.
It's clear. So it's really, it's an interesting example of like, migrating a drug for a very esoteric indication and finding that it has a benefit. You know, it's a little bit like the Viagra story. Viagra was originally a heart medication and then they said,
Look what happened. Yeah, this is a side effect.
Yeah, there's a side effect to that medication. I think, I'd like some more of this, Doc. Well, this clinical trial is over. Well, where can I get hold of some of this stuff? And so was begun a whole industry. So anyway, that's the story. Veniqua, does it work? I think it's rated. It hasn't really taken off in popularity.
Hmm. I wonder what the side effects might be.
Results may be seen as early as 4 to 8 weeks when used twice a day. It's probably rather expensive.
That's a long time to wait.
Yeah.
Using it twice a day.
Yeah. Hmm. And I'm looking at the reviews. Reviews. User ratings.
I wonder how that would compare in price to electrolysis. I don't know the cost of electrolysis.
And electrolysis can be very expensive. Yeah, and you know what? Okay. You know where the biggest market for electrolysis is? It's not women, it's men. You know, men want to have that really hairless look now.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. So
that could be something that's in vogue.
Here somebody says it works. I'm amazed. I've been using it for 2 months. It has slowed down the hair growth. You know, I have been without it from time to time, mainly because of the cost. That's prohibitive for some people. Mm. I can really tell the difference without it. Veniqua saves me time every day as I don't always have to pluck.
Yeah.
Okay. So some plausibility of that.
Yeah. I can't think of any nutrients
that
would slow down.
No. This is not one of those things where it's like...
it's not one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, one thought is because... there's a 5-HT reductase blocking effect of certain medications, and salt palmetto works like those medications.
Yes.
That may have an impact.
I mean,
it's thought to slow hair loss on the top of your head, but maybe block a little bit the hair growth elsewhere. But I think that's kind of a roundabout way of addressing this.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Roseanne, thank you for your question. Okay. The Dr. C, again, is an endocrinologist.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a question. I don't have a name. But this person says, I did the Atkins diet many years ago.
It should be right in your wheelhouse because you were there.
Yeah. I didn't lose weight and my cholesterol went up and never came back down. I've heard that second part of the cholesterol going up and never coming back down. I'm not being negative, and I realize all diets don't fit everyone, but curious why that happened, if anyone knows. My own doctor just said that it happens sometimes. I have to tell you that I have seen this phenomenon. Let me talk first about the lipids, the cholesterol going up and then never coming back down. Unfortunately, not enough time was given to, first of all, look at, it takes about 3 months for cholesterol levels to normalize. Mm-hmm. In a minority of people, like this person possibly, it goes up and it stays up. I think they're talking about their LDL, but they're not mentioning their HDL, because their HDL will also go up. When we're eating more fat in the diet, especially right. good, healthy fats.
This is what happened to me. You know, it's, yeah. a case in point is I went from a macro diet where my cholesterol was like, you know, 110 to 120.
Wow.
My HDL was about 32 or 35. And then I did a 180 on the diet and I consumed a lot of fat and animal protein. Mm-hmm. And my cholesterol soared. It was over 200, up to 200 to 230. Mm-hmm. But my HDL went to 75 or 80.
Which is a really good level.
Yeah.
So what happens in anyone whose cholesterol goes up and stays up, because the HDL also goes up, the ratio is often better mm-hmm. than it was before. The other thing is, it's not enough to look at cholesterol anymore. You and I have talked about this so many times. The importance of getting the particle size, whether it's NMR or a VAPS
yes.
test.
Yes.
You want to see if that cholesterol went up and stayed up. Is your LDL pattern better? In most cases, when you do an Atkins-style diet, if you had a very small, dense pattern B LDL particle, that often will move to a large, fluffy, buoyant, desirable
yes.
pattern A particle.
Yes, exactly.
Which is very good.
Yeah. So we also talk about the quality yeah. of the cholesterol.
Yeah.
We also talk about the oxidative status of the LDL.
Yes.
The LDL that's high mm-hmm. may have less in the way of oxidative LDL.
Right.
And the other thing is that, cholesterol doesn't matter in the absence of other risk factors, such as high insulin, mm-hmm. such as inflammation, which is often an accompaniment of insulin yeah. resistance.
Triglycerides. I wonder what happened to this person's triglycerides. Okay. I bet they fell off a cliff.
So I'm going to address, this is very timely because I'm going to address this in a podcast that I have scheduled for next week.
Great.
For some of our listeners, since these podcasts, we record them and they come out a little later, it may be contemporaneous with the release of this Q&A with Layla. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to a guy who has a website, Cholesterol Code, Reverse Engineering the Mystery. And he actually addresses specifically this paradoxical effect that, that you actually may get mm-hmm. An increase in your cholesterol, mm-hmm. but a reduction in your risk through a high fat diet.
Mm-hmm.
He explains it, and I'm not ready to represent his work here at this time.
Yeah.
I think we should listen to his whole argument. The guy has a website, cholesterolcode.com. It's mm-hmm. interesting. His name is Dave Feldman, and he's partial to low carb diets, but he's a software engineer. He's not a medical person, but he's a very brilliant guy.
Uh-huh.
And he is into science in a true scientific spirit. He's done experiments on himself with mm-hmm. various diet modifications, and he's recruited other people to join him in a kind of an exploration of how diet affects cholesterol.
Mm.
And what his thinking is that it's not the LDL itself that is the problem. It's more the triglycerides that are the problem.
Yes.
And that when your cholesterol
the
goes
real
up,
risk factor, yeah.
And paradoxically, what I sometimes see is that when people get cholesterol tested, they may have enormously high cholesterol if they're anorexic.
That's the body trying to save itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll see. I've seen.
He has a good explanation of that.
Yeah. Anorexic women with 300s.
Right.
Cholesterol in the
right.
300s. Now, this person didn't lose weight doing the Atkins diet. There are many factors here about why you didn't lose weight. Number one, it's possible you're eating too many calories.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, there's still such thing as too many calories.
In other words, this person didn't get a appetite suppressant effect.
Right.
Which is what...
thought he could eat a 20-ounce steak.
Yeah.
When you'd be just fine with a 10-ounce
mm-hmm,
steak.
Mm-hmm.
But you kept going because you thought you could. But you didn't really need that much. Another problem people get into on a low-carb diet are they're eating very calorically dense foods such as cheese and nuts.
Two right.
of the highest.
Right.
It's very easy to go out of bounds or into mm-hmm. the caloric stratosphere by overdoing cheese. An ounce
right.
of cheese, full fat, is going to be about 110 calories.
Mm-hmm.
Add that to times 5 if you're eating that much cheese. And a cupful of nuts mm-hmm. can be 700, 800, even 900 calories. Mm-hmm. We're going way now into the caloric stratosphere. The third reason this person didn't lose weight, thyroid abnormality,
sure.
possibly.
Yeah, I mean, there are many.
Yeah.
You know, I say, and I've coined a phrase, you know, after Simon and Garfunkel, there are 50 ways to keep your blubber.
Ah.
You know that song?
Yes, 50 ways to chop your liver. No, sorry.
that's another variant
one.
On that.
That's
there's
the
50
one.
Ways to keep your blubber. In other words, the body has redundant mechanisms that retain fat.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can address many of them, but still the body has this wonderful capacity to hold on to its fat. You know, in the way that a camel's hump never disappears,
yeah.
you know, it's like...
He could be very metabolically resistant to weight loss.
Yeah.
But then I would question how much he's contributing to that metabolic resistance
mm-hmm.
himself.
Right.
A lot of people will do an Atkins diet and they rely on the bars and the shakes and all these things that have been sweetened with sucralose and
yeah.
other things. And this can still cause some insulin resistance.
Yeah, that's
to
a bit
remain.
Of a bastardization, I think, of the low-carb concept is that
yeah.
technically these sugar alcohols and sweeteners are not really low carb. I mean, they low net carb.
Low net carb. Okay, the body may not recognize it as a carbohydrate. However, the sweetness is still prompting a response by
uh-huh.
the pancreas to secrete
right.
some insulin.
Yeah, and the other thing that Atkins did that I think has been kind of overturned is he did say that people could have a lot of diet drinks, and diet drinks kind of mess with the microbiome,
right?
And that may be part of the reason that people are overweight is they have a disturbed microbiome.
Right. I've seen people do a low-carb diet perfectly, and they can't get off their weight loss plateau. They've stopped losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
When they finally reveal to me they're having a can of diet soda every day,
okay,
sweetened with aspartame or something.
Yeah.
Once we get that out of the picture, lo and behold, the weight loss continues. So there could be many, many things.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the endless
right. It could also
quest.
Be medications. Medications can cause metabolic resistance
sure.
to weight loss.
Yeah.
But this is a
question
for a podcast.
We actually had an article that I wrote about, you know, something to the effect of why, you know, it's not your fault you're fat, you know, that you
yes.
have even environmental pollution can impair the body's ability to metabolize energy.
All those toxins are stored in our fats.
Yeah,
that's where they go.
So there, it's a conundrum. It's a very these so-called obesogens. It's a very complex issue, and you know we haven't cracked the code. We absolutely haven't cracked the code.
Yeah.
All right, we need to pause because we split this podcast into two sections, and tell us, Layla, what we're going to be tackling in part two.
I would like your opinion on saw palmetto for benign prostate hyperplasia.
Okay, we'll tackle that question in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. We're answering your questions. Your questions come to us to radioprogram@AOL.com. And we'll be right back with more Intelligent Medicine.